Mr. Kupfer, I believe, is going to lead most of this for us. Everyone has their sheets that were left in front. We're not going to be working off the main budget. We're going to be working off of prepared condensed version for facilities. And from there, I'll move into citizens' comments. If there are any citizens that wish to address the committee on any matter, seeing no citizens' comments, status quo. So, we'll move on. And Ray, do you want to, or is Jim going to?
I think Jim's going to kind of lead the activities tonight. And then as there's questions, if we need to dive into specifics, either myself or one of the division heads will respond to provide answers to whatever anybody asks.
Before we begin, I know I say this every year, but we are looking at the budget after a short period of time that people have all had it, a little bit less than a week. Things will come up during the hearing this evening and during all the other budget hearings, and I would urge anyone with any questions that you don't think of this evening to contact Jim, Ray, myself, probably better off guys contacting Jim or Ray, and asking questions. I have never seen this become horribly complicated, and there's usually an answer to any question. I've also never seen anything that occurred the last evening, and I know I said this before for those of you that have been here, ever work. It never succeeds unless you do your homework ahead of time, ask questions. If there's something that you don't like or want changed, you've got four different times to do it now. Tonight's the first time. And you've got the budget hearings at the county board. You've got the finance committee and the finalization evening. But I've never seen anyone succeed, not once in my 23 years here, trying to change something on that final evening. So I would urge everyone, do your homework. We've got time here. The phone is open to Ray, to Jim, to myself, to anyone else on the committee you want to discuss things with. And when it gets to the finance committee, to Terry, to Rose, to everyone else. So questions are really appreciated by the staff. And they were working to finalize this. I sat with Ray and Jim last week. My copy was a draft. And It's a fluid thing. It's been changing every day until today, or until the budget came last week. So tonight is our night to look at ours here. I'm sure there'll be plenty to discuss. Remember, you have other chances to do this, and please do. Don't wait till the end. So I'll turn it over to Jim.
Okay, I'm going to do something that I usually don't do, just because I was asked to talk a little bit about the entire budget and how Public Works fits in size-wise. So I just passed out one piece of paper, and on that, it's a summary of, on the top of the form is all the revenues for this for the whole county. It's right out of the budget book. There's a page called Budget Summary. Top is the revenues, the bottom is the expenses, and I know there was articles in the paper and stuff that right here, this number, spending increased $6.6 million. I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail. I can talk about this later, and Barna Bench is here. He's the county's budget director, so you can ask him questions. You can call him or email him if you have any questions about this part of the budget. But total spending for the county is $238 million. We spend in public works, including operations and capital, about $34-35 million. So we're about 14% of the total spending. And out of that $6.6 million increase in expenses countywide, the top is the revenue, we're going to fund that increase of $6.6 million with the budget levy increase of $1.7 million, and that's 2.75% increase. Everything else comes from other revenues. I've heard it called OPM, other people's money, but it doesn't come from the taxpayers. So only a partial funding of $6.7 million comes from levy, and the rest is all in fees we collect, or grants or contributions or donations. So that's all I really wanted to talk about. It's in the budget book in the summary pages. And Public Works is about 14% of the total spending. And of our spending, I think it's about $19 million in capital, and the balance is in our operations. So I'm going to flip real quick to the first page. That's in your stapled together section. Summary page of comparing the 2018 budget to the 2017 budget. And on this page, I'm rounding everything, taking off the thousands of dollars. A comparison of levy, we will go to each of these departments. There's a page or two in the package that you have. All the numbers agree with what's in the budget book. This part you can stop and ask all the questions you want. But I think Supervisor Elverman, when we get to the individual chunks, we'll do parks. We'll have the discussion of parks. We'll approve the parks budget. Is that the way you want to do it?
Yeah.
So just for the top part of this page, the total levy for DPW in 2018 is $7,668,000. Did everybody see that number on there? Last year it was $7,512,000. So the levy increase in Public Works is $156,000, or 2.08%. And you can see by departments there, we've got Parks has a levy increase of $124,000. Golf, there is no levy. Golf has to break even at a minimum. They've been making money. We're going to make money on golf again this year. Not as much probably as we thought we would, because we had some crummy weather and we had a flood and we lost, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks worth of solid business, but we'll still be profitable. And next year, for sure, we budget to break even. Highway Department, their levy is flat. It's actually down $5,000. Facilities, their levy is up $99,000. Planning Development, their levy is down $32,000. We also have this one account. It's the 911 communications expense account. And the budget in 2017, 2016, and 2015 was about $90,000. We thought we were going to get some surcharge from AT&T, but we never got that. So we pulled that out of the budget this year, and we should be at around $60,000. So the total general purpose levy for 2018 for the whole county, which is a number that's on the other sheet you have there, is $65,625,000. 2018, last year was $63.8 million, and our levy in Public Works is a little less than 12% of the countywide levy. This is just for operations, not capital. Anybody got any questions? We'll go department by department.
The telecom decrease, they're supposed to be charging us a surcharge, and they never. Is it one of these things?
Years ago, they said they were going to put on an extra amount related to 911, and they never did it.
Is there a reason behind it, or are we just going to say, well, they're not going to bill, so that's it?
Yeah, well, that's what we're going to say.
Okay, so what
happens? They haven't brought it up for years.
Okay, so theoretically, at some point, they could say, here's your bill.
No. they, you mean like, would they go back and do it?
Yeah.
So we miss it? No.
Okay.
It's not like that. It was a certain type of a surcharge that AT&T was going to charge to emergency.
Yeah.
And I think they just decided we're not going to do that.
Okay.
That.
What, was that a one-time surcharge?
No, it was going to be an increase.
Okay.
Going forward, it just never happened.
Okay.
They decided not to do it.
Strikes me as odd, but okay.
Okay, the bottom section there, we like to look at our full-time headcount. We do have part-time headcount or seasonal headcount in both parks and golf. We don't put them in here. That's really a fluid, there's very few full-time, well, there's none for the whole year. So we like to measure, and we just schedule them in a series of hours. You could have 100 people working 1 hour, or you could have one person working 100 hours. So we don't put that headcount on here, and we don't put the full-time equivalents on there. And something like golf, we have to manage to a zero budget anyway. And if you look at the parks department, seasonal payroll, there's Matt's actually got it ratcheted down a little bit. We're budgeting a little bit less than that one. So as far as full-time headcount goes, in the parks department, in 2018, we'll have 6.5 people, and compared to the budget this year of 6 people. The reason we have a half a person next year is because we're going to be hired a new supervisor for the West End, and the old supervisor, the existing supervisor is still there, and Nick Murphy, who will be retiring in the middle of the year, that will go down to 6. But for a half a year, we're going to have an extra half a body.
I got a pointer now, so
oh.
Leave this alone.
Yeah, you're going to have to remind
you. No problem. Unless you want to do this, but I think you're talking, so I'll just see you up in here.
Golf, headcount, the full-time headcount is flat. In the highway department, we are adding one person. It's a utility person. This person used to exist in the budget years ago. And what the person will be doing will be helping the mechanics. It's kind of a low-level entry job, but it's a necessary job. The person, they run errands, they can do some facilities type work. They can fill in and do a whole bunch of things. It takes some pressure off the higher paid people. And this person has worked for us. He's a good employee. He was a seasonal person on and off. So in the budget is included this one extra headcount in the highway department. Facilities, there's an increase from 30.75 to 31. What that is, really, is this year we have hired a new person that was included in the 2017 budget, but they've only been in place for 3/4 of the year, so next year they'll be for a full year. So the body is already there. So it's really not an added person. The person was added in 2017. Planning development, we have a person who is planning to retire in 2019. So we will hire his succession in late 2018. So that's why there's only 25% of a person in there. And then again, that person will retire, and then we'll be back down to regular headcount. And UW Extension, they really only have one full-time county person. The rest of their employees are hired through the state. And there's no UW Extension numbers in here. I'm just using this presentation for those. Is anyone here in both committees? Yeah. So we'll be talking about that because we do the bookkeeping and Ray does some of the management of UW Extension. So we don't have any of the dollars in here. What the heck? I just put that in there because I got to explain the same thing. So headcount, we're really only one new full-time body, and that's in the highway department.
Bill?
What's the notation mean partially filled out?
If you're an employee in the highway department and you do work for the state, and this person will do some work for the state, he can charge his hours to that account, and we will bill that out to the state. So it may be a fourth to a third of this person will actually be billed out to the state.
then who is the full-time equivalent for extension currently?
Her name is Nancy Rotana, and she's a graphic artist, grant writer.
She's the one that works closest with Matt, doing a lot of the grants that we get in parks and other departments. But she works really closely with Matt.
Very well, thank you.
Okay, that's kind of public works, you know, from the 30,000 foot level. So if anybody got any questions, if you don't, we'll go on to the Parks Department. It's on page 2. There's a 2018 budget compared to the 2017 budget with an increase or decrease column. And the top part is all the expenses, and the bottom part is the revenues. And one of the revenue lines is levies. Now, these levy numbers are the same ones from the first page, except the first page we kind of rounded down to give you a Now, if you're trying to, I see Supervisor O'Day following along the book. The pages that this summarizes are in pages 115 through 125. So those of you who went through your book and made notes on your...
You're a whole lot better off for this hearing that we're having this evening to use the staple sheet that that Jim put together.
That's right.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Jim, am I correct in assuming that the 2018 proposed budget, which is over $2 million, compared to what we got last week, seems like its grants and contributions and outlay are subtracted, they're not added into the total expenses. Am I correct in assuming that? And if so, I'm just curious why that is. 2018, you have $2,098,035. On page 118 on the budget we got last week, total expenses is proposed for 2018 is $5,678,035. It seems like it doesn't include grants and outlay. Am I correct in that?
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Now then, why is it that?
Okay, the outlay is capital money. And we'll talk about that. It's on the next page. And grants should be in there.
I don't see it.
It'll be underneath fixed.
Is it separate in what we got fixed? And grants are two separate.
Oh, on this sheet, they're combined. Here we go.
Okay. Thank you.
So, Jim, just to clarify.
Outlay is capital money.
Yeah, so just to clarify, Jim, this is all the operating expenses in this top box.
Okay.
And the cap will be on that next page.
So operating expenses for the Parks Department are increasing by $144,000. $123,000 of that is funded by levy. Salaries will increase. They're just normal step increases. We don't have any, no new headcount there. Medical insurance increases. You guys just yell if I'm going too fast or if I miss something that you saw that you need a question answered. I go through and I just pick up where the big changes are and try to explain them ahead of time. Medical insurance increases. There wasn't a big, I'll just make a comment overall, there isn't a big increase in medical expenses this year. And Barney, you just stop me if I'm wrong, but I think it's about a 1% increase from the county payment perspective. They've made some changes to the employees to increase their contribution. Plus, we're having a good year compared to the last couple years, which are really bad. So the amount that we charge or that we put in for there's a fixed amount that we have for an employee if they're single or if they're family, and we go into each individual and assign that number to them and add it up. So it's a pretty detailed calculation of what medical expenses are. And for the Parks Department, it's increased because, not because the expenses went up, it's because somebody changed from like a single to a family or something like that, or didn't have insurance before, that now took it. We have an account called Miscellaneous Contractual Services where we're having increases in Pike River water testing, some environmental workshops for the employees, and some Katy Park startup expenses that aren't capitalizable. We also have an account for work tools, our machinery and equipment. Anything, we don't capitalize typically anything that's under $5,000. So if they're buying lawnmowers, weed whackers, any of those kind of tools, they go into this budget. And all the departments have these. Highway has them, facilities has them, golf has them. So we're projecting a small increase in the work tools. In the advertising accounts, we're doing more advertising for the additional events that the Parks Department is doing. Other operating supplies, we're just increasing that based on historical spending trends. Gas and oil, we actually cut it down a little bit. This year's budget was probably a little bit too high, but next year's is reflecting better what the cost of fuel is. You'll see a decrease in highways also. Major maintenance.
Jeff?
Yep.
How are you forecasting the gasoline? Coming up with, well, I think we're going to, you know, use 50,000 gallons at $2.
We can track how much gas people use.
But I mean, price-wise, because it's a commodity that's pretty volatile. I mean, how do you pick the number that you're going to budget what the price of gas is going to be next year?
We kind of look at what it's been this year and use the same amount.
Okay, so
maybe use it up 5%, but last year was higher. Gas has been what, 230?
Is that the number that we're using?
Yeah.
Even that.
Nobody has a crystal ball.
No, I get that. I
wish I did. I'd like to make a lot of money in futures or something, but
yeah, the very second you think you got to figure it out, you don't.
Yeah.
But we, as a municipality, we don't pay gasoline tax or anything like
yeah,
that.
We,
so
we get a discounted amount.
So we're not paying retail level. So we're not booking actually at 230. We're booking at something less. But you don't know what that number is.
I can't exactly remember the number that I, but yes, we do not pay that. There's some taxes we don't pay. Oh. I thought he was raising his hand.
I will
wait
for a minute.
Thank you.
I can find that out for you, though.
That's okay.
Yeah.
Just as long as you're not booking at $5.50,
no,
you're booking
no.
The extra like a little slush fund or something for the end of your park. Not doing anything like that.
We have no slush funds.
Yeah. You are on record, right?
No.
Yeah.
Just a comment.
Yeah.
Jim, on the medical insurance, we did two other budgets today, Health Department and Brookside, and it seemed like it was one of the smallest increases we've had in years on the medical insurance. Am I correct in that?
Yeah. See, that's a correct statement. Wow. Small increases.
Very small increase across the board.
Across the board.
Go ahead, Bill.
Question on this, on page 3, at the bottom, that's revenue. We're talking about how some of these various projects are coming. The first one, Department Development Revenue, that's waste management. Where does the Pike River Shoreline revenue fit in? Where do we get that $500,000 from?
That's epic, right? That's through the EPA.
So that's a grant from the EPA, so from that's from the feds, right?
Yes. So Supervisor Grady is one page ahead of me.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's on page 2.
That's okay.
I'll wait for you to catch up.
Not unusual for me to be a page behind.
We'll do it one at a time.
I'm really done with page 2.
Okay, so do you have a, Jim?
Yes, sir.
Do you have a simple explanation of all the little increases or an explanation for the $144,000?
I'm sorry, do I have an easy explanation for it?
Yeah.
Well, I think there's just more going on in the parks.
So well, that's what I'm asking. Wasn't a trick question, right? Oh, just so everyone knows, there's a whole lot going on here, but it will balance. And with the, when we do move to the next page here and you see some of the revenue, yeah.
I want to add something, Mr. Chairman, that the kind of the summarized increases that Jim went through at the bottom of page 2, those account numbers, they tie at the front there of those lines. Those tie back to then those, the 68,860, the 18,732, to come up with that 144.
Right.
So that was his attempt was to provide kind of the highlights in each of those line items that contribute to that increase or decrease.
Yeah, if you want to move to the next page.
I guess I'd like a little bit further explanation on the contract and services. I know you did explain the miscellaneous contractual services increase with the Pipe River testing and that, but is there additional line items for the increase there, or is just what you have listed here?
What, Matt?
Yeah, I can answer some of those. There is some additions to that we do have for contract services that were put in the proper accounts. For instance, past sanitary services, we have portable restrooms. That's always coming up different accounts. This is a line item that puts in the proper contract service account.
So they don't each have their own line item?
I'm not calling it.
They don't each have their own line item.
Like for past,
it's
no.
It's just under contract services. So at any point, you can take that contracted services money and use it towards anything that would fall under a contracted service, or is there specific things that fall into a contracted service?
What we typically do is we either forecast based on past contracted services for those line items. So sanitary, restrooms, for example, you're going to have to pay $100 per month. So that's what you're going to have for those facilities. So what we do is our due diligence to get pretty spot on with what we anticipate with each one of those line items in order to extinguish that full account. So there's not a lot of flexibility within that account.
I can read you a list of what's in there real quick.
Yeah.
PACS, affordable restrooms is $7,000. Well, it's actually $8,500. We have weed removal out of Paddock Lake for $3,000. The City of Burlington does water testing for us for $3,000. We have pump service at the Pets Lift Station at $1,400, the snowmobile trail leasing that we have a revenue in there, $19,000. The expense, we're a pass-through, so we pay out $19,000 to the landowners. That goes in there out of the $66,000. There's KD Dam inspection, which is $5,000. KD Park Invasive Species Management, $5,000. Waste collection at KD Park is $5,000. Pipe River water testing and workshops is $8,000.
Can you get a list of that to us?
Yeah.
Thanks.
Total $66,957. The other amount that goes in contracted services in all departments is utilities. And there's about $90,000 worth of utilities in there for all the parks. So again, the $90,000 plus this $66,000 or $67,000 that I just laid out, that's the bulk of those contracted services. So we budgeted down to a pretty finite level. Now something new would pop up, and it was a contracted service, and we had to pay for it. It would go in here, but then we'd probably add it to the list next year.
Anything else before we move on? Go ahead, Bill.
Okay, the next page 3, is all of the capital items. for parks for 2018. The top part is a list of projects, and the bottom is revenue for those projects. And if you kind of looked on the list, I will tell you that there are a few projects on here. And if you go about halfway down, there's Pike River Shoreline Stabilization, 83% grant funded. If you, it's hard for me to get it all on the screen, but that's a $500,000 grant. We'll spend $600,000, so that'll net out to the county $100,000. And that's if you were to go to the budget book, you'd see in future years more steps. Because this is just phase one of that particular project. And all of these projects here that we have to spend money on, and then there's some grant or donation type funding or some type of funding on the bottom section underneath revenue. We don't get the revenue, we don't do the project. We budget that way, but we don't bond for the money, we don't borrow it until we know that we're going to get the project. And we have that funding, then we would put up our share. And there are several projects like that. The Pike River Shoreline Stabilization is like that. The Katy Park improvements like that. Anderson House. And the new restrooms for Petrifying Springs. Those four right there, we get revenue for. Oh, and then for parkland development, the waste management. There's $75,000 worth of expense on top and $75,000 worth of revenue.
Yeah. So, reference the Anderson Art Center, the revenue. Specifically, where is that coming from? That $1.5 million?
So, it's not, we don't have that nailed down yet. So, there's an anonymous potential donor that's part of that because of where it's at, because it hasn't been finalized, we had to include it in the budget as a possibility in case it does happen. But as Jim said, if we don't get the revenue, then it won't happen.
So then the renovation of $1.9 million, would some of that occur?
No.
So is it all or nothing?
Yeah. Our chunk of it, as you do the math, the 1.9 to the 1.5, on this portion of it is $400,000. Yeah, if we don't get the other funding.
And what is that renovation going to be?
So the renovation scope would basically be the entire exterior shell. I would make it similar to what we did to the courthouse. Would be the exterior shell and some interior work that I consider primarily infrastructure, so the electrical infrastructure, plumbing infrastructure, and HVAC. Would be kind of that kind of preservation of that. We did some repairs to the roof, which is a fairly complicated slate roof, the way it's designed. I think probably now about 7 years ago that the roofer that did it was really good. They specialized in this stuff out of Milwaukee. They said it should hold up for about 3 years, but we're in about year seven of that 3 year, and that part's holding okay, but there's another part that Matt was just up there a few weeks ago and almost went through the roof on that we're going to have to do some work fairly quickly to preserve. So it's basically that kind of issue, is getting the exterior shell of the building preserved and then doing some infrastructure work inside.
Okay, so $400,000 is our portion.
That would be the match in this case, is I think the way to describe it. Yeah.
So and what I'm getting at is we have to match that amount. I mean, could we take the 1.5 and hold off on some of the renovations so we don't have to spend the $400,000?
I don't think we have to do it
that way based on the arrangement.
I don't think the details of that have been, and Barna or Jim can correct me if I'm misspeaking, but my understanding is that, no, that detail hasn't been flushed out. But the safe thing to say is if we don't get the funding, the $400,000, nothing happens unless we get the funding from the outside sources.
My understanding of the total project is that actually more than 1.9 needs to be done at that building.
Yeah, it's
so we actually wouldn't be doing everything that needs to be done to that building.
It's about a total over 2 years of $4 to $4.5 million. It's a big project. It'd be a big project. But it would largely be funded with outside money if this comes to fruition.
When will we know?
What's that?
When will we know if it comes?
I don't know, again, unless you guys have more information than me. I would say if we knew anything, and possibly would be early next year, but I'm kind of pulling that out of the air. I haven't been involved in the negotiations. It's like I said, I know that some of the folks involved want to be anonymous, and so it's being carried on in that kind of a manner. So
we are not, if we adopt this, saying we're spending that money, because nothing will happen if these people don't come through. And I wasn't, they weren't able to even tell me
right.
who was involved in any of this right now.
I don't know who it is.
What was the amount that you said really was needed?
So the total is,
total
I believe it's $4.4 million is what the total project would be, which would be total exterior. That part I do know because I had the architect do the analysis, and the exterior is just over $2 million off the top of my head, $2.5 million. And then the balance of that would be for interior HVAC, plumbing, and electrical. Off the top of my head, I'm not gonna swag a number on that one.
Okay.
Supervisor Frankel. Yeah, I can get you that. What it's what we've got it insured for. I don't know that probably is gonna be the best valuation is the insurance.
I'd like access to that information as well.
Yeah, we can get it to the committee.
So on our list of revenues at the bottom of page 3 here, the Anderson House revenue, put a question mark by that because we don't know if that's really gonna occur. That's put in the books, but is it really going to happen or not? Do any other of these other ones qualify as potential only, or do we have grants for some form of contribution for the rest of them?
I believe, based on the agreement that we've had in place with Waste Management, the $75,000 is pretty firm. They've been good for that. The Pike River Shoreland revenue, that we have a firm commitment from the feds on that. KD Park revenue, that one is not, that's a grant that's applied for, we don't know yet. Anderson House is up in the air, and the spring Petrifying Springs revenue for the restrooms is also up in the air. Those are all things that are have the potential to happen.
So we're planning for if it happens, we get the money to come to the project, if not,
right.
And then if you're looking at these numbers, then this whole expense sheet would be subtracted.
Right, the whole line.
Larger amounts than what you see on the revenue side. Right, Ambassador.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Back to the Anderson House question. Do you know what the square footage of the building is?
You're going to the well too many times here tonight, Supervisor Brown. I do not know that off the top of my head, but I can get that for the committee as well.
I'd be curious about that as well as the additional information that you're going to be providing the supervisors.
Square footage? Square footage of the house.
But more importantly, while we're waiting for this funding coming in, and it sounds like there's some very necessary repairs that need to take place, obviously those repairs are budgeted for.
Yeah, so the one that we talked that I mentioned of the roof, that luckily is on a conventional flat part of the roof, so that we're planning on doing. I think you've gotten estimates
this
already.
Year, we're working on estimates currently.
Right now, so we're going to triage that right away because it's soft and it needs to be dealt with. It appears that the ones we did years ago on the slate portion of the roof that really are around the chimneys, that doesn't appear to be leaking yet. So the repair they did was very good for the 3 years they figured it would last. It's more than double that.
That's not cheap. Thank you. Anything else?
Just the roof
repair for the Anderson, is that included in this or is it
Oh, the one we're going to do immediately?
Yeah.
Yeah, the one we're going to do immediately, we're hoping that's going to be out of this year's budget. I'm going to pull a number up without having the estimate, $5,000 to $10,000.
Okay.
You know, something that we can do that's manageable, not a major thing, and it's only going to be that little tiny section of the roof.
Another CIP for $90,000 for roof repairs. Is that for the Anderson House or is this for Pepper?
We have a list, and I can go over it if you'd like.
Yeah,
it's specific budget.
Yeah.
The list of roof repairs and parts is, as far as what I knew they were, capital repairs, not just fixing them up. That is in.
That's included in this $1.9 million.
questions about parks? Anything?
Oh, just a quick question. Petrifying Springs parking lot upgrades, what were the companies for 2018?
So that's basically when we did the restoration of the main park line, so to speak. There was one piece that we didn't address in that main park line restoration, and that's the parking lot up on JR. It's just east of the main entrance coming off of JR. And so this would basically be a restoration of that. We've cold patched it to death, and it's a restoration of that and a slight expansion we're hoping to do so that we can get more cars, that we can accommodate more vehicles with a slight enlargement of that footprint there. That's what we're hoping to do.
That's the one closest to Parkside, right?
Correct.
And the Parkside students use that. Is there any way
You've hit on a sore issue with us. Yeah, because the Parkside students are not supposed to use that. And the Parkside is supposed to police that as part of an arrangement we've had with them longstanding. That's, let's just say, less than robust in how that's been enforced.
Well, how would they, though? Because, you know, if you park in the Parkside parking lot, you've got your little land here, but over there, anybody can park there, right? So how are they going to enforce that?
We've talked about a number of things, and do you want to go into some of that a little bit?
We deal with the UW Parkside Police and their captain and their chief of police. He gets it too. So we're working with the chief, and for example, even this last week they had their largest event of the year to coexist with one of our events, the All Wheel Ride. So we had to work with that chief of police to make sure that they marshal those parking lots that is for park patrons. And I think we're moving in that right direction by building a relationship with the Parkside Police to enable enforcement, because they want to help us as a neighbor. It's a neighborly thing to do. So what we've been seeing this last weekend, they're striving to try to marshal our parking lots to really reinforce that different park patrons, not students. So we're just hoping to strengthen that relationship.
I'm remembering part of the conversation, because we likened it to how the parking structure was downtown. When we first put up the gates, finally, we had control of it, but we really didn't, because there was people that would still park from the apartments there, and they'd leave their vehicle in there for days at a time. Then there were people that kind of monitored that for us, and we made a few phone calls to the sheriff once their vehicle had been sitting there more than a couple of days. Those were ticketed. I believe one or two was towed, and the word got out. So we're hoping the same thing can happen once we monitor some kids that are getting out with backpacks and walking on the path, and okay, here's your ticket, it says right here you can't do that, the word will probably get out, and the $75 or $100 a year parking pass becomes cheap at that point for us.
Thank you.
Hey, Dennis. I got a question.
Yes, sir.
Can you just clarify for me in the budget book on 116, and I think I know the answer here, we're going from two park superintendents to 2.50. Is that the overlap?
That's
the
first
that's leaving?
Correct.
Okay. That's all I have. Thank you.
Anything else? So, no further questions on parks? Do I have a recommendation or a recommendation from the committee to approve this portion of the budget concerning parks?
So moved. Second.
Moved by Supervisor Green, seconded by Supervisor O'Day. Tentatively approved, sent to the Finance Committee this portion of our budget. Any discussion? If not, all those in favor, do the governance? Committee?
Aye.
We'll move on.
Okay, thank you. Page four, this is golf budget. Golf budget is, there's no levy, so we budget expenses, and we have to make sure that our revenues cover that. And the 2017 budget is almost 2.9 in expenses. We'll be a little higher than that next year, but our revenues will cover it. I'll just reiterate, we made money the last 4, 5, 6 years in golf, and same thing will happen this year. We'll
budget for next year. Hopefully we make it through next year too. In salaries, 5,100 accounts. There's three 5,100 accounts: salaries, temporary salaries, medical insurance. Salary increase is just our annual step increases. We don't have any new heads there, full-time heads. Temporary salaries will increase. We are having a difficult time matching the market prices on these part-time fill-in summer people type jobs, so we keep having to raise the hourly pay. We're talking about going from like $9 to $9.50, not from $18 to $20. But there will be an increase in match market so we can fill these slots. Medical insurance is actually going to go down if you look at the detail in the budget book. And it's just based on people making individual choices, either going from family to single or not taking insurance. Contracted services go down a little bit in credit card fees. In the 5,300 accounts, which are supply accounts, we'll have an increase in program expenses in junior golf. Actually, the golf outing that the county executive has is whatever money we make in that account or on that, we turn around and spend it back on junior golf, so we've been making more revenue, so we spend more. And gas and oil, I think I said here, we're going to decrease based on lower fuel costs. And then also concession stock. We'll have a small increase in concession stock just because we think we'll be selling a little bit more. And volume related, so it costs more to buy more. And we have a little table we put in there that shows what the revenues have been historically going back to 2011. And our 2017 budget was almost $2.9 million. I don't think we're going to quite get there this year. I think we'll be at about $2.8 million. Next year, we should be at very close to $3 million. In fact, in 16 and 15, both of those years, we were a little over $3 million. So that is pretty much the story on golf. We don't put anything in here for increased rates. Same rates for 9 holes or 18 holes. Same discount format we have, package we have for different times of the day or for seniors or for college. No real changes there.
The other thing I wanted to add to something Jim mentioned is that the salaries really is the biggest chunk of increase. And as Dan would tell you, you know, we spent, I'd say, he'd come in every few days and give me an update on what's going on. We literally are finishing the year running on vapors from a personnel standpoint, not money-wise, but number of people we were able to keep in food and beverage as well as in the pro shop. This, I would say, probably this and all the county departments are affected by the general economic conditions, but I would say Gulf and Brookside are probably the two that are closest tied in terms of competition for other employees. The hospitality services area that Dan competes with, I don't think there's a restaurant in town that doesn't have a sign out, help wanted. He competes against that, so it's been a real struggle for that. Golf in general, the guys and girls that are helping out on the course are, again, hospitality, seasonal jobs in nature. It's been very competitive and very difficult for him to keep folks. I think they've done a real good job of using different methods of recruitment, getting creative, but that's one of the biggest challenges. So that there's no doubt that his operating expenses have increased because his cost of labor has gone up as a direct result of good economic conditions and competition for the same labor pool. So I just wanted to note that.
Any questions on golf? Yes, sir.
And can you explain to me, or can you explain to me, it seems like we're going up 4.5 seasonals in people from 17-18 in the budget that I'm looking at. At a street ranger, calendar third, page 108. Is this something that...
What that is, I'll take that one. We project
hours and then divided back by a number to get these full-time equivalents.
Okay.
And we feel we need to add some extra hours in order to service the golf course. Now, we have to cover that with revenue. If we don't cover it, then we can't bring it in. So that's what that is. It's all hours-based.
So it's hours-based. On.
Yeah.
We'll just take the condition of that. All right, thank you.
At the bottom of page four, there's only two capital items for golf next year. The first one is we'll be replacing about a third of the fleet of golf carts. That's beverage carts, and we've got about 200 carts. So we're not buying any this year. We're not replacing any carts in 2017. So this is an off year. And we've replaced a third or a fourth of the fleet over the prior 3 or 4 years. So our carts are about 5 years old, and we'll start over again next year replacing the carts. The new cart costs, $4,500. We'll get a trade in $2,500 next year. And then the year after that, maybe a little bit less for trade in. But this is part of a normal cycle. So we'll start replacing carts again next year, and then more replacements. There's a list of mowers that we'll be replacing. I think there's five of them at different courses, and we have a regular rotation of how old the equipment is, and we keep good records on how we have to maintain them. So these are the piece of equipment we feel we need to buy in order to take care of the golf course. This usually we spend a couple $100,000 each year on replacing equipment. Those are the two capital items.
Any questions on that? If not, could I get a motion to approve this send out a finance committee for golf portion of this budget?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Webble, second by Supervisor Franco. Use the governor's committee.
Aye.
So we can move on to highways.
Okay, highways is on page five. Highway capital is on page six. We'll get to that in a second. Highway department, their operating expenses will go from $9,223,000 up to $9,439,000. The levy will remain flat. All the expenses that they have are covered by, the levy's flat. It's actually down about $4,000. But a lot of the expenses that they'll have will be for, there's two big revenue accounts down at the bottom. There's what's called local transportation aids. That's the money that the state gives us each year for us to take care of our county roads. And then the state revenue is money that they give us for taking care of the state roads. Now, the budget this year, or for the next 2 years, it affected highway not so much the operations, but more the projects that they're going to do. In fact, they're going to increase the amount that they give to the municipalities and the counties to maintain the roads. In fact, that $3 million for the local transportation aid, we got the notification today that that's going to be a little bit over $3 million. So that's a real good number. And as far as the work that we do for the state on their roads, they're increasing that. It's almost, I don't want to put words in Clement's mouth, but if we can do it, they'll pay us for it. There's a lot of work there to do on the maintenance side. And if we don't have that revenue, we won't be spending the money on those roads. So we feel, and we're adding the one person that we talked about, and that'll be covered by total by the additional billings. And I put a line in there, the additional levy or the historical levy amount for the highway department. 2014, it was $2.2 million. 15, it went down to $2 million. 16, it went down to $1.8. The last year and this year is at $1.7. So with all the development, the extra work, everything that's been going on in this community, the highway department has managed to decrease their levy
down to $1.7 million. It's a $500,000 over the last 5 years.
So the only thing I want to add to that is, though, that is a trend that I don't know, I don't feel comfortable that we're going to be able to project that into the future, given unknowns but projected development and the impact on infrastructure and need to develop and enhance infrastructure. That number probably, I'm going to safely predict, is going to go up. The trend is probably going to start to change. But that said, if there are revenues to offset that, we'll see where it is. I'm just, my basic point is, I don't expect this to continue to keep going down. That's probably unrealistic. So
the good thing is the state is spending more money on maintenance.
Right.
The bad thing is the state is spending money more money on maintenance to make the local municipalities cleaner, but they're not spending money on other things.
On projects, right.
Everyone knows that has been in any of these discussions that eventually the state's going to have to divert that money that they're giving us. It has to happen. It's not going to happen in an election year, but it's going to happen. So yes, we have to prepare to know that a couple hundred thousand, this is wonderful for us to drop our highway levy a couple hundred thousand every year, but we're not going to be able to keep it up.
We'll just go for a minute through the increases and decreases. Salary, there's one new person in there, and then there's the annual step increases for those employees who are eligible for their raises. Casual pay, there's a small increase based on the actual experience that we've been having. Utilities, I think we budgeted a little bit too high this year, so we decreased it slightly to correspond to what our actual experience has been for the last 2 years. Miscellaneous contractual services, we're going to be doing gravel crushing in 2018. That's the reason for the increase in the miscellaneous contractual services line. Then we have the expense line for the machinery equipment less than $5,000. We'll have to be buying some more supplies. This is for small items that the field tools and things like that that the highway employees need to use. We decreased golf again a little bit based on more favorable market prices in fuel. And then, because we're going to have these revenue increases in work we do on our own roads, where we get some money from the state as well as the state roads, the roadway supplies and the shop materials, those expense accounts will go up. But they should be covered, or they will be covered. Their budget is being covered by revenues. So all in all, it's a fairly consistent year for the highway department, operating expense-wise and revenue-wise. As I said, transportation aid will be up, and the state building will be up. Any questions on highway ops?
The question, what are we projecting for paving this budget?
For what?
Paving. How many miles are we projecting to do it? When do we find out the cost of the asphalt?
It's like $160,000 a mile, and it's 13 or 14 miles.
We try to stay with that. I think 13-ish is the bogey. And we generally get pretty close to that. Sometimes we'll go a snit over, sometimes we'll be a snit under. This year we were on track to be, I'm going to say, significantly over by a few miles until the flood hit us and we lost about 3 to 4 weeks in the summer. We still should hit pretty close to what we targeted to hit this year, though.
We don't find out what the cost of the asphalt is until later on.
Did you find out?
Just before the season starts.
Thank you. In regards to the gravel crushing, is that something new we're taking out?
Well, we do.
Go ahead. You've been crushing a lot more gravel than I have.
What we do is stockpile gravel, and we don't have to crush it every year. So we used to do it at our Wilmot gravel pit, bring somebody in, and we don't have to own the crushing equipment then. And crushing up gravel for 3 years.
So that's so, the increase would be just bringing in equipment to crush the gravel.
To crush the gravel, correct.
Actually, this year, because the Wilmot mine, gravel mine, is completely spent, it's the actual cost of the gravel and the crushing of the gravel. Yeah,
so we need a stockpile for our trucks to be able to go in and use on all our projects, and it doesn't pay to do it each year. So if you're going to bring a guy in there, you bring him in and it's the mobilization that costs you a ton of money.
So it's not like we have people here that are actually crushing. We're bringing
bring somebody in. Right.
Okay. So we won't see this next year.
We'll see it next year.
In 3 years.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've got kind of a big picture question, and I don't know where to ask it because there's no good place to ask it, but I think this spot is probably good enough because I see in the capital plan that we're purchasing a single axle truck or a tri-axle truck because it needs to be replaced. And if you look back at, not part of this, but the sheriff's capital budget, there's $650,000 in there for replacement of squad cars. Several major automakers, including GM, yesterday indicated that they plan not to make internal combustion engines starting in 2023, moving on forward. Presumably, they'll either be a Tesla model or some sort of hydrogen, hybrid, or some sorts. Are we, big picture, thinking about what's actually coming on very quickly on how our fleets may radically change and how we're going to be able to service them?
So I'm going to say to the curve, because I've read in The Economist the same kind of information, that 2025, I believe they project over a third of the U.S. auto fleet to be hybrid or pure electric. By 2050, the British are going to be 100% electric. So all that stuff, like you say, that technology is in place. Now, as it relates to medium-duty and heavy-duty vehicles, although the Europeans are way ahead of us on this and already have a lot of diesel over electric stuff and other types of hybrid vehicles, the infrastructure here and the engineering here hasn't caught up to that yet. So the long answer to your short question is we haven't made any definitive plans to start to put in recharging stations and things like that to our infrastructure here for our heavy use equipment, because I think from the little bit I know and the things that I read, that's still going to be beyond the passenger car and the general modes of transportation. We're still going to be out. We're still getting used to the clean diesel systems that are out there now and the technology and the maintenance factors associated with it. That technology still isn't by any stretch robust, and the maintenance costs associated with it are significant. So that could actually fuel a greater push towards electric, but there's a lot more obstacles to getting all that and converting these big heavy use vehicles to that level.
And I guess I'm not suggesting that you run right out and make sure that every county facility has the ability to recharge vehicles, because you're right. Will take some time, but very publicly, GM made it very clear on Hydrogen Day yesterday that they will no longer produce internal combustion engines as of 2023. Volvo, a few others that escaped me off the top of my head, between 2022 and 2025, all of Europe is going to outlaw internal combustion engines. China is going to outlaw internal combustion engines. So I'm suggesting that this is going to probably happen a lot quicker than we think. And the only question I'm asking is, are you the smart folks thinking about how this may affect our budgets moving into 5 years into the future? Because it could very, very realistically, when the sheriff wants to go purchase 20 new vehicles because he's got to purchase 20 new vehicles every single year, he's going to get stuck because he's no longer going to be buying internal combustion vehicles. He'll have to buy electric vehicles. And if we haven't thought about how we are going to deal with that, we may have a problem. So I guess that's where my question is. Are we thinking that big picture yet, or is that just still in our head too far off?
I would say it's on the radar, but to be honest, it's still on the edge, okay. Supervisor Bostrom. But there is, you have an interest in this, I would recommend it was an mid-August edition of The Economist that covered, that was their feature article. There's probably 20 articles in it, and it showed, the cover is an internal combustion engine laying on its back dying because that's what's happening, that's where it's going. So that whole issue is dedicated to that concept. It was very informative. So, like I say, it's on the edge.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Do we own the Wellmont gravel pit?
Do we own it?
Yeah.
Yes, we do.
And then you said that it was all used up, so do we have to, plan on buying a new gravel pit?
It is. The useful road gravel is used up. There's always different types of material in a gravel pit. And unfortunately, for most of the gravel pits around here, the most not profitable for sure, by the way, but the most abundant is sand. You always want stone in a gravel pit. That's why you can bore it down 300 feet. So we still have sand, and we use it for
storage and queuing up.
A lot of different things. So we have other access, and we also have materials that we have through recent purchases gotten that are used for road building. One of them is the major purchase at the KD Park. They added 110 acres where there is a huge stockpile of usable material, and that will be something that we'll be crushing for the Highway F expansion. And we have access there in concrete that is used for road base. So we haven't at this time been looking for a new gravel source because we're okay right now. And that industry has been stalled. So there is pits in the area that have been approved that haven't even opened. There's a major one in the village of Twin Lakes that is near the Wilmot Airport that was approved quite a few years ago. The conveyor belts have been put underneath the highway and everything is set for it, but that's on hold. So it's a fluctuating business and it's on the downside right now. Yeah,
Jim. Hey Jim, can you speak to our legal plan on page 128 and the Public Works Development and our budget book? Obviously, we have an assistant sign maker that we're budgeting for in 18 that we didn't have in 17, the shop utility. Can you speak to that, please, on the increase of the officer's personnel?
The shop utility person is new.
Okay.
It's the only really new headcount in the entire public works budget.
Okay.
That's, we used to have, it might show on there years ago, or maybe that doesn't go back far. But we used to have that person, and now we're hiring them back to help out the mechanics to do some of the, I don't want to call it facilities work, but helping those guys clean up, run errands.
I'll add to it.
I'm on the assistant sign maker first because I see zero, now I see one. Is that a person, is that a position or not?
Assistant sign maker?
Yeah. Look at your budget book. Page 128. We're budgeting for.
It has to be a decrease in another job now. Is the sign maker going away?
Nothing. It's going away. We had two here the last week.
Oh, you went to
one
of
the entire.
Okay. All right. So really, we're creating the shop utility.
Yeah.
That's the only increase.
Okay.
That's a flat.
That was a bump. Yeah, I was going from zero to one. Yeah. So we're creating this position to help out mechanics that are there, is that true?
Yeah, I'm going to say a big part of it is right now, if there's, because we don't have this position, we haven't had it for a few years, what you got is the $28 an hour mechanic running out to pick up parts in an emergency, or running out to run parts to somebody out in the field when he could be back in the shop working on the vehicles. So that's a big part of it. That's the justification from a cost standpoint, kind of just allocating your high value added guys to stay doing high value added work and doing that. And they will be able to assist in keeping up from a maintenance standpoint in the shop. It's just has slipped, even though we've tried to keep up with it with facilities folks, it just hasn't been enough. So
that's it.
When we take a look at the ability of the county to pay for, which we're talking, you know, 13, 14, 15 miles per year per season, and that seems like that's maintainable for what we've got. As you were alluding to earlier, with these changes that are coming to our county, again, calling for supervisors, classrooms, kind of big picture, you know, I can foresee a time in the not too distant future when there'll be more of a need to pay increased number of miles of roads just because we have more infrastructure to put down to maintain. So philosophically going forward, we take a look at public works, and this is not an answer we're going to get tonight, but this is just something I'm curious about. We intend upon doing the majority of this in-house and basically ramping up and having more infrastructure ability. We're going to contract this out. You know, we have a general feeling going forward. This will come up in, you know, future discussions, but you know, we look at these big players coming into the town, to the area, to the county. It might be happening sooner rather than later.
Yeah, I'm going to.
We have talked about.
Yeah. I'm going to say that there will be a combination. There will be times when outsourcing is definitely going to be more cost effective and provide the flexibility that you don't have to add to permanent infrastructure internally to address. But that said, like you're indicating, there's a certain amount of workload that is going to just trend up. Base workload is going to go up. So there's going to be, over time, some increase in our internal capabilities as well to maintain, from a winter maintenance standpoint for sure, as well as the paving operation. You know, in the southern part of the state, we're one of the few places that has that internal capability. I think it's only because in years past, surrounding communities made the decision to divest of that. And I think a lot of them are kicking themselves, but they're never going to get the capital to restart the process because they're the ones that want to contract with us to do their stuff because we are the most cost-effective game in town relative to any of the private sector. Because we don't have a profit motive. We do what we do at our costs, our true costs. So I see us over time, our base infrastructure is going to have to increase everything from people to equipment to space to house that stuff. It's all going to be affected. How exactly at this point? It's kind of like that article that was in the paper the other day about KR, and they were already asking, like, well, what are you going to do about KR? They don't even know what the building's going to look like yet. What are you talking? They don't know what interchange they're going to use for their on and off. Is their primary means of ingress and egress? Is it going to be KR? Is it going to be 11? Is it going to be Brown Road? Who knows? None of this. So we know that something's going to happen, but we're going to have to wait for a bit more information to start to unfold so we can make some good decisions about how much that base infrastructure in terms of our resources needs to increase and how much we really do want to use outside resources so we can accommodate those blips without adding to our ongoing kind of fixed cost structure. So it'll be an interesting challenge, but it's going to be coming up soon enough.
We have also in the past, if you look at money that we've got local road improvements around like Beach thing, we've paved 3 miles with that money. In my short time here, actually, we've paved 19 miles a year. We used to actually pave 17 was our average that we did, and we have through budget things and through the recession, and we've all gotten happy with the 13 and 13 and a half, 14. But we did 19 with less equipment than we have now. have streamlined our production on paving, then if we had lost 3 weeks to flooding this year and had the paving to do, we could have paved another 3 miles of highway easy. So I think we definitely have, as Ray said, we've got one of the premier paving operations in the state. So it's not a problem pulling it off of what we've got, really. If the work's there, we always find a way to do it. Yes, sir.
How many miles of the county roads do we have?
253. Instant change.
Okay. And then, when you say 13 to 14 miles a year, is that one lane each direction, or does it take longer if it's a two lane road for the state?
So. Yeah, right. There's other things we do that we break down by lane miles, which would be the individual. There's maintenance functions that we break down. But when we talk about our county paving, we talk about it as two lanes, total. That's how we talk about that.
And that has changed also over time, because we didn't used to have the area from the fog line over. It used to be gravel shoulder. And now you'll notice that it's a paved shoulder from that fog line over to allow for safer bike traffic and pedestrian traffic. And when you talk about the miles that we have, that's not the miles that we maintain also, because Clemens has been given all these new ramps along the freeway, and what we maintain is a whole lot more than that, 153 on the state.
Highway capital is on page 6. Equipment wise, that's on the top. I think there's about $800,000 worth of equipment, $700,000. And where it says single axle trucks, that is a truck. And triaxle trucks, that is a truck. So we are buying 3 new trucks. They cost $200,000 a piece. Someone asked a question before about the paving, and that's what we have underneath that transportation infrastructure improvements, that $2 million. Divided by 160,000, I think it comes up to 13 miles. The local road improvement program is money we get from government. That $312,000, then we're expected to match it, and we can use it for our local roads. We typically get about $600,000. We budget $600,000 a year, and we decide what project to use it on, and then we have to file papers with the state saying we're going to do this project, and then they'll approve the funding.
Facilities is page 7. this department here is actually a combination of a bunch of pages in the budget book. We have three separate areas of facilities. We have what we call the Civic Center, which is it includes the buildings downtown with the exception of the Public Safety Building, which is a separate entity onto its own. We track all the expenses for that separately because we end up billing a chunk of that back to the city and to joint services. But their numbers are rolled into here. But the Civic Center, the third one is just the Job Center. That operates independently. We track all their expenses separately because we bill out the cost of the Job Center to various service providers. So we have the Civic Center, which is all the other buildings. That includes like the courthouse and KCAD, this building, KCDC. Those are the four big ones. Pretrial building, Molinaro. Those are all what we call Civic Center. Then there's PSP, then there's the Job Center. All that stuff is added together here. And this includes the expenses for all the custodians and the management people, facilities, Frank and Mike Schrant, and all the utilities. It doesn't include Brookside. So when you add all those things together, we spent about $4,657,000 on expenses, facilities expenses, for all of the county facilities. That is up from last year, $187,000. Half of that will be funded by levy, and the other half will be funded, because this year we are actually building a new, I don't know if we're building it from scratch, but the fleet maintenance building, we are going to spend about roughly $80,000 a year in expenses, in facilities expenses, utilities, repairs and maintenance, and we'll turn around and bill that back to joint services because it's 100% down. But we do all the maintenance for it. We collect the expenses. We spend the money and bill somebody back. So you see a PSP rent, that's rent that we charge out. It's going from $700,000 a year up to $800,000 a year. And it's basically due to the fact that we have two buildings, which is all going to be built up. The other expenses and salaries, they went through the wage and comp study for the custodians, and there's some increases there for them, and then there's some annual step increases. So the personnel category is going up by $75,000. Medical insurance, that line in the budget book went down. There's some changes in individual choices. Building equipment maintenance, we are planning for an increase in repairs based on historical experience, and some of the increase is also due to the fact that we have that building.
Jeff,
thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm a little confused on the public safety building rent. You said the new building that we're building, fleet maintenance, that's what's causing the increase in rent?
That's money we take in.
Right.
The expenses on the top are going up for utilities and for custodial help and for miscellaneous repairs. So the expenses go up $80,000.
Right.
But what we do, we measure the square footage of the public safety building itself, and now we're adding in the fleet maintenance building. So all that, all the expenses for that, pay them, and then we'll bill them back to the joint service.
So my question related to the fleet maintenance, it's not like you created new fleet maintenance because we've housed fleet maintenance and now they're just moving to another room within the Civic Center.
Right.
So how does that increase the rent to joint services if they're theoretically occupying a different room?
Oh, it's a much different space.
It's a whole new building.
And it's a whole new building.
So, I get it's a whole new building, but I mean, how much space were they occupying in the building?
So there's a couple pieces to this puzzle. It's the fleet maintenance building is part of it. There's other pieces within the safety building that are the space is getting reallocated as part of the whole kind of musical chairs as people are getting shuffled around. So Frank, do you remember off the top of your head what the current square footage is in the fleet maintenance area? That's what I thought. It was a roughly 2-to-1. So he's about double the amount of space
okay,
he's
so
got
you are
currently.
Actually, so increasing that, the space that they're.
Yep.
Okay.
That's one piece, and then there's another piece down in the basement that the range, the Joint Services manages the range, and so there was a small chunk down at the west end of that basement that was the quote unquote workout room. That's now getting absorbed by which was a county, what was a county function. So now that is getting repurposed to be part of Joint Service. It's going to be part of the shooting range.
Okay.
So I can lengthen that out slightly. So that's going to shift. And then there's another piece, the old EOC, that was down in the basement as well. That's going up to the second floor. But that old EOC place is being, that is going to be the workout room, and that's going to become Joint Services now. So there's a few odds and ends that got thrown into that thing that created the. It's an incredibly detailed spreadsheet that tracks every inch.
And that's fine. That's what I want to clarify.
Yeah, so that's
that they are actually expanding the space, which
yep.
is causing the rent increase, and
yep.
not just, hey, we're moving you to a nice new shiny building, and I want to charge
yeah,
you.
Yeah, no,
okay.
It's strictly square footage.
Okay,
yep.
Thank you.
Very cool. Yeah, just a question on the math. In the book that we got last week, it said capital and operating budget.
Page here is the operating budget.
Right.
The next page is the capital budget. So the
right.
operating budget is 4.6.
And the
capital budget is
2.9.
2.9.
So that's 7.7 million on page 92. It says proposed operating capital budget 4.778 million. Difference.
You gotta be listening to the part.
Depending upon what page you're looking at.
I'm just looking at the proposed here.
Yeah.
It says 4.778. This is what I've been looking at each one. And I've been adding what you did here with the operating end cap. That's operating cap. Is that a typo?
So, Jim, do you want Chris to look into that? Well, then we'll come back here once we get it. Jim, while Chris is unraveling that question, do you want to keep going with capital or operations? If there's other questions on operations, I should first.
Are there any facilities operations questions or? Okay, on page 8 is all the capital for facilities. The top part is capital for the Civic Center.
Page 8, you said?
Page 8.
Not at that.
In my handout.
Oh, in your hand. Yeah, that's what I was looking for.
Just to clarify, Jim, we didn't purchase what we were hoping this year, so we're adding to it so we can get something that's more appropriate next year.
Did
we
wind up getting a skid steer down there? What was it, 2 years ago?
I think so.
We never got one?
An attachment, maybe, yeah.
So we're going to have some snow removal equipment and a mini loader and attachments for that Civic Center camper.
Yes. Now the mini loader, we can, if we need to, we can move that around and take it to any building and use it out here. We can use it at the detention center. We could use it at Brookside if we wanted to also. We can use it anywhere that they need that piece of equipment.
Supervisor Bastion.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The $300,000 for Civic Center development project, what's that going to be spent on exactly?
So basically what we've been doing is every year we've added about that amount to that specific line item so that if any properties become available.
Potential acquisitions.
Right, it's potential acquisitions down in that Civic Center area. So
how much do we have in keeping?
Maybe $500,000.
$500,000 currently plus those $300,000?
Absolutely. Okay, so I don't know if that's spent though. They never tell me.
I know enough to know that you guys are going to be looking at something that isn't quite all worked out, but in December there's going to be a joint meeting for something. So I know that there's something in that area again.
Something in the hopper.
Yeah. I don't believe it's...
I will tell you exactly what's left. I just got to go look it up.
Is it on 57th Street, perhaps?
I honestly don't know which one this is on, but I know that Joe is working on something.
Is it a warehouse or is it office?
I believe it's office.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You know, last year I came with this map that showed... Wasn't it cool?
It was great.
Just forgot.
That was a map. Okay.
Wasn't that a nice map?
I knew there was a building that was being talked about that got
Yep.
All good things to be charged.
Thank you. Answers my question. Thank you.
You bet.
And then a pretrial roof is something that, there's actually two roofs on here. There's a pretrial roof in the Civic Center section, and then there's a roof replacement for the public safety building. This is a part of our regular, a couple years ago, we hired a consultant, and we have this very well-defined roof replacement. We have replaced the roofs here in 2 years. Next year, we replace the pretrial roof and the public safety building roof. Then after that, it's the detention center roof in 19, I think, or 20. And then all the major roofs are done. We'll still have some park roofs. We still have the endless Kemper roofs. But those are all smaller items. These are the big ticket items.
And what is, I'm sorry. What's the projected life of these major roofs?
Oh,
30, 40, 50 years?
Well, I'm going to say 20 to 25 is typically where we're at.
They're not all flat rubber, right? I mean, some are.
The majority of these large buildings are flat rubber, yeah.
So, I mean, theoretically, if they're maintained, I mean, they
right,
should
the,
last.
The safety building, for an example, that one has been well maintained, and I think it was just really well made. That's the original roof from 1982, so that's way beyond. Whereas the roof that was on this building was put on, this was up in 93 or 97?
Yeah.
93.
Yeah, 95.
That roof was completely shot. We had multiple leaks all over the place. But we discovered some things, too, when we took that roof off, and some of the fundamental ways things were constructed contributed to its kind of premature failing, too. So we corrected those. So, yeah, the one on the safety building is outlasted every other roof, even though it's one of the oldest on our newer buildings.
On the parking structure, I mean, that's not that old a structure. We're looking at joint ceilings, floor grates, expansion decking.
Yeah, so that one I believe was put up, I think it started in like 2005 maybe? Dennis, I think it's 2005. So it's at that age where some of the maintenance items, if you take care of them, sealant specifically, and some of the, we've got some leaks that have been there kind of since day one into the utility room where all the electrical infrastructure for that building is. It's mainly a sealant and preventative. There's some drains that are rotted out that need to be replaced. So it's that kind of thing. It's the kind of stuff that if you keep up with it, then you won't have big chunks of concrete spalling out in places, and that's really what it's designed to do, is prevent us getting to that point. Parking structures, raised parking structures, are a very expensive piece of infrastructure to maintain, because if you think about it, they're exposed to the elements pretty much all sides, and they're not a cheap investment. Necessary at times, I think this one was, but they're not cheap to maintain. But it's still better to do the maintenance as opposed to letting them go, and then you'll have real significant issues, structural issues with it. We don't have any of that now. We want to avoid that.
So, I have a question. Can you address, the other night, I wasn't there, but I heard there was a power outage at the public safety building, and the generator did not kick in for about an hour, or it took a minute. Can you address that? Is that even true?
Folks aren't bashful in getting a hold of me, and I'm unaware of it. Now, I was out of town over the weekend, so I don't know if it happened over the weekend, but usually even then, I get calls from Mike.
I heard about it on Saturday. That was, I don't know if it was the day before, I think it was from the storm.
So, Mike, you haven't heard anything?
This came from a police officer, so I don't know if it was second shift, third shift, if it happened at all. That power was out for a good hour.
I think it's one thing to know.
Yeah, folks usually aren't bashful, and if Mike doesn't and Frank hasn't heard about it, I. Did testing on Thursday of the new one, but that wouldn't have affected the building, yeah, so.
Was that Thursday night?
Thursday.
Well, Thursday, Thursday. So, I don't know. I just thought I'd mention it because it was mentioned.
And Mike will check into it, and we'll see if there's, kind of what.
Yeah, you'd have heard about it, I'm sure.
Yeah. We should have.
Yes, we're a question. I have another one. Under capital projects, what constitutes law enforcement enhancements? $300,000.
Oh, that's, Jim can probably explain this better than I, but I know that that's part of the overall law enforcement's package that was actually approved last year. This is this year's piece of that, I believe.
And so when I refer to capital projects, and it just says law enforcement enhancements.
Right. There was a package in last year's budget that included the public safety building remodeling, the detention center storage building. I think the range remodel was in there for joint services. The evidence automation of that for joint services. I believe those four components made up that package.
And so
this is the piece of that that's budgeted for this year. The lion's share of it was last year, because I think the total package was like $12 million or thereabouts. So this is that, the 2018 piece of that big package.
So the storage shed, I want to call it the storage shed because that's how we're...
That's a good word. Yeah, that's...
The very expensive storage shed actually came in significantly less.
Right. So far, we're still tracking well under budget by about $300,000 relative to where
we haven't reconciled that yet.
What probably is going to happen, because that was done as a law enforcement package, right now Frank's running the project for the second floor remodeling and the FMB. That project appears to be overall pretty much right on track. That was in that basket of stuff. The things that look like they're going to chew up whatever savings we have are the joint services range remodel. That right now, they haven't got it fully designed. I think, well, it might be fully designed. They might be going out for bids like in the next couple weeks, but the estimate on that, whereas the original estimate we got from the guy that built the existing range that's in there was like $500,000. Well, they're now saying, the experts that they've got designing the new range with no frills on it, that's about $1 million+ adventure, so about double. So at this point, we don't know exactly. It's going to get used by one of the other things that's in that package, yeah.
Any other questions on the capital portion of this? Jim,
except for facilities.
Yeah, except for there was a question on facilities, right?
Yeah. The page you're looking at is just one page, and it's just the Civic Center page. And they're putting together a little reconciliation here for you. When I started out, I said there's a Civic Center page, there's a Public Safety Building page, which is page 98, and then there's a Job Center page, which I think is page 103. So you kind of have to add all those three together, and that's what's on this one page here. So we'll show you the numbers here, how they add up, so you can figure out.
Okay.
It gets a little confusing. We should probably put a summary page in that book that corresponds to.
Because like every single one of them had that, just that one number.
Yeah.
Throwing me because.
Yeah. It wouldn't indicate that there's three pieces that need to be chained together the way Jim's got it on there.
So on that,
we'll screw it up.
Well, then can I have a motion to send this one out of finance?
So moved.
All of them read the governance.
Aye.
Committee?
Aye.
Move on to planning and development.
And Andy's here. He had a flat tire. He really wanted to be here for the whole thing. That's flat tire. So thank you. Okay, page 9 is planning and development. Same headcount in 2018 as in 2017, with the exception of this quarter of a person who we're going to have to hire in late 18 because of an impending retirement of our water person. person in 19. So it'll be a, he'll spend a year in trailing the current employee
I just want to clarify that a little bit, because we actually have the current, it's Dan Treeler, for those of you that know, is the soil conservation, fairly technical position. Dan's been in a long time, knows the thing forwards, backwards. There's not a ton of these folks throughout the state that know the kind of stuff that's very important to us from a funding standpoint, from a technical support standpoint to folks in the community. He, in February of next year, February, March of 18, he will be in a position to understand if he's going to be able to retire in February, March of 19. So we put this one quarter in just in case he makes the decision to pull the plug the following year. We can hire somebody at least in the third, fourth quarter of next year to shadow him and at least make that transition. It won't be a full year, but it'll be a decent amount of time to provide some overlap. That's what we've got in there right now. So that's the quarter of an extra person is for that succession.
So in salaries, there's a little bit of succession planning, and then there's the step increases for the five people who are left, or the, who remain in that department. And we in the past have had some temporary payroll in there. We're not putting budgeting anything for 2018. We're actually we're filling it with other administrative help from within the public works area.
Do you have a question?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The person to replace Dan hasn't been identified yet, correct?
Okay. No.
That's all I wanted. Thank you.
Contracted services. In 2017, we had we got a couple things in there. The biggest number was document imaging services. We had, a $40,000 or $50,000 budget for... And we don't need that this year or next year. We're just starting that project. And if we don't spend it all, we'll just carry the money over, but we will not need any additional funds to do it. And we had also had a small amount of money for floodplain purchases in 2017. We don't have any floodplain purchases budgeted in planning development in 2018. So that's why the contracted services amount goes down $50,000. We do have some, though, in the parks budget that you approved. There's $50,000 in case a property comes up, or if we need to demolish a property we have, or if we need to do something else of a capital nature or flood plan. Well, what we do have in the planning development budget down at the bottom underneath capital, we have the potential to get hazard mitigation grants totaling $700,000. If we get those grants, then we will, the county will spend an additional $100,000 to purchase properties that are, this is a much bigger item, purchase properties that have anything to do with any kind of floodplain mitigation.
Mr. Chair. Andy, is this the bigger picture dollars that we've been talking about on our committee,
right?
Money moving away from other parts of the state?
Correct.
Okay. Thanks.
So the planning and development, their levy is actually going to go down by $31,000. And no changes in income. It for planning development.
Any other questions? Motion to send this one on the side.
So moved.
Second. Supervisor Gravy. Great. Second by Supervisor Wendell. All those in favor, use the governance.
Aye.
The last page is page 10. We have an assortment of departments that really have, one of them, the Board of Adjustment, has a small amount of levy. About $8,000. And the other ones, tree planting program, the development program for planning and development, land and water management, then dog parks and a mountain bike trails, those are all no levy. And for departments like dog parks and mountain bike trails, they can't spend money unless they have revenue. So we just show these as a note that we have these additional departments that are not levied. And that concludes the official presentation for the Public Works Budget for 2018. Do you have any questions?
Good while you're ahead, but...
Okay.
We did the question thing already. You'll never hear me do what some people do, and when they call for citizen comments, they call for it like three or four times. I do it once.
Speak now or forever.
Always speaks up. That's it.
Pretty easy. No sense. It's yours.
No, even when there's nobody here, so I don't go. So, that's it.
That should do it.
Thank you very much. Brady said by Supervisor Dave. There's been a motion to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all.
I know you're all sitting in your seat.